Well, folks, welcome to another exciting episode of Movie Classics with Larry and David. You all know what that song is. That is the wonderful Bing Crosby singing White Christmas. And that was, David, you know, that was portrayed in two great movies,
yep.
Holiday Inn and White Christmas. And for you folks who don't realize it, that is still the number one selling song of all time. It has sold over 50 million copies. And the next song is 33 million copies, which is Elton John, Candle in the Wind. So White Christmas has been number one for a long, long time.
That's hard to imagine, isn't it? This hard. You had the Holiday Inn first in 1942, and then White Christmas, 1954. Almost 10 years of popularity of that one song.
Right. And if you folks haven't seen those, White Christmas and Holiday Inn are... you know, they're, I don't know the right word, David. I mean, I look at them as being maybe a little campy, but...
They were romanticized images from that era.
Yeah.
They had just gotten, they were either in the war or they'd gotten out of the war. Whenever you think of White Christmas, you've got to think about all those guys who had just gotten into their American dreams with their kids sitting on their laps and watching White Christmas.
And getting their home in suburbia.
That's
and,
right.
You know.
1954.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, but it's...
So it was... it turned... You know, that movie starts out in France during World War II with the everybody who is going to show up later getting, you know, shelled by the Nazis. So the scope of that fit immediately into the experience of the people who were watching it for the first time.
Right.
In
1950. Right. And for you folks that haven't seen White Christmas, as David said, it's a couple of World War II vets and they're entertainers, and they go to save a failing Vermont inn owned by their former commanding officer. So it's a lot of singing and dancing and holiday cheer. The film that celebrates friendship, love, and the magic of the Christmas season. You know, so it's a great movie. But then
no AK-47s.
No AK-47s. Huh. No shooting. No nothing.
Shoot.
But then kind of the first one where White Christmas was saying was in 1942, and that was Holiday Inn. And that's the one with Bing Crosby and Danny Kaye. And it's still a retired performer. They open an inn that only operates on the holidays. And, you know, so both the movies are about an inn and trying to make the inn successful or trying to make the inn more successful.
This is where that image of a roaring fire in the background.
Right.
And, you know, slippers on your feet.
That's right.
And, you know, that whole thing, it must be Christmas because there's snow. That didn't fly as well in Florida.
No.
Actually.
No.
Although the romanticized image is there, and that's why we have fireplaces on our flat screen TVs now.
That's right.
That's the only reason.
That's exactly right. You know, I've often wondered that, you know, the idea of Christmas to somebody that lives on the equator,
yeah.
But they're all watching all this stuff over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house
with
we
slaves.
Go. With a sleigh.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Know. Well, folks, you can probably figure out that on Movie Classics today, we're going to talk about Christmas movies.
Huh.
And some of them are good. Some of them are bad.
Christmas and Die Hard, right?
Die Hard. There's always a big argument. Die Hard's not a Christmas movie. It's a Christmas movie.
No, it isn't.
It is not. You know, so David and I are going to decide later. We're going to, when we're playing the break song in the middle, we're going to get on the floor and do a leg wrestle. And whoever wins, that's what Die Hard is, either Christmas movie or...
I can always... Yeah, I already know what that's... Well, and that's why, you know, the Lemon Drop Kid. Talk about mobsters, you know, doing bad stuff and being redeemed by Christmas.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, but we can't forget those old classics either, David, like Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, 1964.
Geez.
You know, that's...
Yeah, that's what you grew up with. The Lemon Drop Kid is, who was the lead in that?
Bob Hope.
That's, Bob Hope.
Bob Hope.
Of all people trying to be, Yeah, a mobster.
Yeah, and it, and I'll tell you what, it was really Marty and I watched that just a few days ago, and it's a freebie on YouTube. You know, that's the best place to, if you don't have, depending on what you've got, folks, for a movie, if you've got Netflix or whatever. But if you go to YouTube and just type in free Christmas movies, all this stuff will come up. You know, well, we watched The Lemon Drop Kid on, that's a 1951 movie, and it's actually a pretty cute movie. And Bob Hope at the end, it's like a lot of things, Bob Hope. He does the right thing, you know.
He was redeemed at the end of the movie.
Yes. He was redeemed, and he helped the old ladies out, have a place to live, and it worked out pretty good. You know, the unique thing about that is his co-star in that was an actress named Marilyn Maxwell. And in Hollywood, you know, even though Bob Hope was married for many, like 70-some years or something like that, he had an affair with Marilyn Maxwell. They were actually an item. And the Hollywood used to call her Bob Hope's other wife or something like that.
Goodness sakes.
Yeah, Marilyn Maxwell.
No way. Not back in the 50s. The good old 50s when things were pure and wonderful.
Everything was white bread America.
Yeah,
and,
exactly. That can't be.
Yeah, the Texaco guys, 10 Texaco guys came out to your car and took care of your
car. That's right. I never had to clean my windshield.
You're not kidding.
On my bike.
Yeah, no kidding.
Don't put me back in the 50s that far.
Well, you know, and what David and I are doing, you know, what consistently comes up, there's a lot of great Christmas movies. And, you know, we're not saying that there's not good Christmas movies that are made today or even in the last...
Wait a minute. I'm saying that, but...
10 years ago. There's some good Christmas movies out there. But, you know, the movie that consistently is number one on the list for Christmas movies is It's a Wonderful Life. James Stewart, Donna Reed.
Right.
It's...
How to cure yourself of depression at Christmas?
Yeah,
you know that there's an interesting way of looking at Jimmy Stewart. You know, he's about to kill himself, and is redeemed by being able to see what life would have been like if he hadn't been.
That's
there.
Right.
It was really cool. It's remarkably well done, obviously. That's why we like it. But 1946, there were a lot of depressed people around.
You bet there were. And you know what? What's neat about it is that, and I'm sure, and you know, folks, one of the reasons why It's a Wonderful Life is always on TV is it lost its copyright. And they play it a lot on TV. Now, I seem to remember there was somebody who was going to try and get the copyright back, but I'm not sure how.
I don't know how you do that.
Yeah, some of the copyright rules is after something's been out for 70 years or something like that, then the copyright goes away. And if something's not renewed, then it becomes public domain.
I think if you had control of it, you can renew it if you had control. But if you die before that happens, then the family doesn't have any control.
Yeah, there's not really a whole lot they can do.
Yeah.
And it's one of those movies where, you know, most people, like you and I, David, and I know a lot of people, we both were talking earlier that we each can probably dang near play all the parts and know the dialogue of darn near the entire movie, and
that and you know, a couple of others. You can't. I mean, watching Miracle on 34th Street is a wonderful movie that is all about actually the real Santa Claus shows up. And he really is the Santa Claus we all dream of. And there he is, actually being led into a courtroom, basically being pilloried as an insane old guy. And he's actually the real Santa Claus. This is what we're watching. There's some great scenes in that. I love it when he's actually in the department store where both Larry and I have lined up in the past to sit on Santa's knee. And a deaf girl comes up, and he is able to speak to her in sign language. And a Dutch girl, and so typical of the period, 1947, we had immigrants here from war-torn Europe. And so we have a little Dutch girl who lost her parents, and Santa Claus, being the real Santa Claus, was able to speak to her in Dutch.
That's right.
That was so, you know, again, we're looking at reality, you know, this is actually for real, girls, and, you know, don't take it lightly. Do you remember the courtroom scene?
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you what, it reminds me of the courtroom scene in Miracle on 34th Street, reminds me of the courtroom scene in Oh God with George Burns.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. Well, these themes are reused and they're retreads occasionally of the same concept. But it's really, again, it doesn't prove anything. It's just that Kris Kringle, the guy who is the actual Santa Claus, ends up giving how many bags of mail come in? Remember the scene?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, that's something to look up if you haven't seen Miracle on 34th Street recently. We've got classics. Charles Dickens is a good one to always look for with A Christmas Carol. How many times has that been used?
Oh, man, it's and my favorite one, if I remember, is a guy named Alistair Sim was the actor.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can't remember if that's the 1938 or the 1951.
It's one of the older ones because it's not Scrooge. And at the same time, there you are. We've got a new, you know, the new adaptation, relatively new.
Yeah.
Do we?
Yeah, it's
Scrooge was done in 1988. It's basically a redo.
Oh, and Scrooge with Bill Murray.
Yeah.
And some of the other Michael J. Pollard and some of the other actors.
A Christmas Carol.
It was just it was a modern Christmas Carol, and it actually, I thought it was pretty hilarious, and.
All of 1988 was pretty hilarious.
Yeah, no kidding. but what's neat about some of the older Christmas movies, like A Christmas Carol, is the technology they had back then to do, like, superimpose the ghost that appears on film.
Yeah,
you know,
and walking through walls.
Yeah,
How'd they do that,
Becky? Yeah. You know, so it's obviously. They, like, I don't know, they overlaid the film, something.
Superimposed things.
Right.
But a lot of work in the darkroom and in the cutting floor.
Yeah.
To get that to work.
But that Christmas Carol. And you know what's really weird is if you're a young child and you're 8 years old, watching A Christmas Carol, that could very well be kind of a scary movie for
it
you.
Is. Oh, sure.
You know?
Well, interesting. What do we expect our children to understand? The concept of The Christmas Carol is pretty deep. I mean, we're looking at, you know, Ebenezer Scrooge, who is going to literally transform himself in front of us through this exercise of redemption. At Christmas,
yeah,
but and wonderful little images. I, you know, if you were a kid at the time, you said, "Oh, look at those kids in the street having fun." At least I could be one of those if I'm going to associate myself somehow with this.
And some of those kids in the street back in London were actually homeless.
Of course, they were.
They're all homeless.
That's the point.
But
that's and available to go do errands. You know, after the redemption happens, he actually throws some money down to them and tells them to go get a goose, a Christmas goose.
Yeah,
and
the kid does it. The kid doesn't run off with his money.
Right,
The kid does it. Yeah. But I think I can't remember David, but I think there's been like 24 versions of A Christmas Carol.
Well, they've had time because the original was written back in the 19th century.
Yeah, then the very first one, as far as on film, I believe it's in 1901.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, Silent.
Of course, Silent, but also technically.
And it's only about 5 minutes long.
Oh, funny.
You know, but it's still a portrayal.
Right. Because all the film was about 5 minutes long.
Yeah, they didn't do
exactly.
very much at all.
feature length in 1901, that's for sure.
Yeah, but it's really amazing. And you know they even did Mr. Magoo's Christmas Carol cartoon in 1962.
Disney did it, you know. What was it? McDuck, the
Scrooge
Duck.
McDuck.
Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah. Bugs Bunny did a Christmas Carol.
Oh, good.
You know, they've done.
I wouldn't have wanted to miss that classic.
Yeah, they've done so many of them. And they even did a Mrs. Scrooge with Cicely Tyson playing the lead role of Mrs. Scrooge. Yeah.
Jeez.
You know, but yeah, there's been so many versions of it. And you know, what's really neat is they all wind up obviously with the same ending, the same message.
Right.
It's one of those movies, they remake them. It's like watching the movie Titanic. It was a hell of a movie for a movie that everybody already knew the ending.
They knew exactly what was going to happen.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
But you know, Robert Zemeckis did A Christmas Carol in 2009 that had a lot of CGI in it.
Of course.
Yeah. You know, and but there's a lot of great ones, but I still think, let's see, they did a Flintstones.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, the Flintstones Christmas Carol. They've done so many of them. They did one with Tim Curry.
I'm so glad the industry isn't taking us for granted, you know?
And
And thinking that we're idiots.
The That's Muppets, good. They did a Muppet one. Mm-hmm. But what's really neat is it's a continuing story. And there's one in 2022, and, you know, it's got computers. Graphics now are so fantastic that, gosh, it almost looks like it's a person. It's actually,
a
person. But
yeah,
yeah. Scrooge, Alistair Sim did the 1951.
Yeah, I think that was one of the best.
Scrooge in 1935, they starring an actor named Seymour Hicks, but some of those are just so good. You can't.
Again, worth looking up on YouTube. Don't go to the local channel for that. You have to find it yourself. You have to start looking around and seeing what might show up.
And one of the best ones too, David, Christmas Carol, was in 1938 with an actor named Reginald Owen. And you know what's neat about that one is the Cratchit family was Gene and Kathleen Lockhart and their daughter...
Uh-huh.
Who you would know. You know their daughter?
No, you got me stuck.
June Lockhart.
Oh, of course, Lockhart. But June Lockhart.
Was of Lassie and of Lost in Space.
All of that.
You know.
A TV actor.
Right.
Yes.
And then the 1951 one with Alistair Sim. But yeah, those there's just something about A Christmas Carol that I really like. And, you know, as kids and even as adults, you know, you can get out there and have a dinner and somebody somewhere is going to go, God bless us, everyone.
Yes, yes, yes. And again, a really interesting take on what it is to have Christmas. You know, it didn't take a lot. It took a lot of love and care for that family to have their Christmas together.
Right.
And Scrooge, figured that out. That's
right.
What he figured out.
Right. That's what Scrooge finally figured
it
out.
Take money.
You know, and he...
Money was in the way at that point.
Yeah. And you know, another one that's a wonderful movie, that you can look at it as a Christmas movie or not, but that's Meet John Doe.
Yes.
Gary Cooper and Barbara Stanwyck. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful, wonderful movie. And this was 5 years, you know, John Doe is depressed, and this was made 5 years before It's a Wonderful Life.
We're talking about coming out of the Depression, and everybody in that movie had been in it. There's been several where the theme was about revealing the truth about a character in John Doe. You know, that was like a scam that was going on.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And there have been other scams that I'm trying to think of one right now. There's, that's interesting. I'm trying, the character was a prince who got revealed, you know, as a scam artist. But that's you help me out here. The Apple Annie. I'm going to go down a road you've never been on before. It will come back to me.
Okay. Well, you know, one of the other ones, and this is another actor that you just do not like, David.
Mm-hmm.
Which is one of your least favorite actors? Old style.
Yeah.
Old actor.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you think of
it? It would be Double Indemnity, wouldn't it? With the...
Fred McMurray.
McMurray, yes.
Fred McMurray, that's right. David doesn't like Fred McMurray.
He should not have been given a job.
Well, he did a movie in 1940 called Remember the Night.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a Christmas in the courtroom, you know.
Yep.
And
he had one character he always played, you know.
Yeah.
Until he got My Three Sons, he was a bad guy.
And what it is he's the prosecutor, and he's the DA. And he falls in love with the shoplifter he's prosecuting at Christmas.
Again, I don't know if I would like to have that on my list. I've got it on the list of Christmas movies. But, yeah, Remember the Night, 1940.
Yeah.
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 Because I write things down, I don't always get stumped by myself. Occasionally I do. But the movie I was trying to remember was Pocket Full of Miracles.
And I don't think I've seen that one, David.
It was a Damon Runyon who wrote the play, and John Ford, director. Worth taking a look at. But it fits into the same theme that we've seen in a lot of redemption movies, where you basically, it's because a unredeemable character changes and solves the theme of the movie, solves the problem of the movie.
Right, and you know, also so many Christmas movies have that, mm-hmm. and one that's a more modern movie that winds up having a redeeming quality in one of the characters is Christmas Vacation with Chevy Chase.
I knew you'd bring that up.
You knew I'd bring that up, you know.
One of my least favorite movies.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Brian Doyle Murray, Bill Murray's brother.
Yeah.
Beverly D'Angelo. Oh, but
obviously, people who went on into famous careers.
Yeah. And you know, in that movie, the grandma and grandpa, the grandma was played by an actress named Mae Questel, Q-U-E-S-T-E-L.
Okay.
In her younger days, she was the voice of Betty Boop in the Betty Boop cartoons.
Now, see, if you didn't know that, you couldn't appreciate that film.
Right.
Yeah.
Because and she does fantastic in this movie, and she's long since passed away.
Sure.
But yeah, she was the voice of Betty Boop in that, and Julia Louis-Dreyfus was in that movie, you know.
I've put a couple of notes next to films like that. Home Alone is another one where basically it's a slapstick. It could have been set anywhere.
Sure.
We could have watched any number of characters who, you know, end up hitting each other in the head. Unbelievably. I mean, that whole franchise is full of, you know, they would have been dead before the middle of the movie.
And it was an okay movie, you know. But one of the weirdest things that brought that movie out was every parent that we knew that had a young boy who was blonde headed, they'd say, "Hey, do your Home Alone," and they'd put their hands up on their cheeks and do that scream like Macaulay Culkin did, and every parent were like, "Isn't that the funniest thing?" But I mean, I must have seen that.
I'm trying to remember, getting in the car and wondering where my kids are. I that never happened.
Yeah,
you know, that never happened. But when I'm thinking of Chevy Chase in Christmas Vacation, it's a pratfall.
Oh yeah, yeah.
We're not anywhere near Dickens at this point.
Oh no.
That's understood.
Yeah.
But it also speaks to the era. In the, you know, Home Alone was done in 1990.
Yeah.
And we're talking about, you know, calling that classic now.
Yeah.
But
the point
what
is,
what were we all doing in the 90s? You know, what were the parents doing in the 90s? They were hoping someday to drive a BMW.
Yeah, because all the boomer parents back then were 35.
And you know, on their road upward into the upper middle class.
Yeah, and you know, it's movies are so subjective based on the person.
Completely.
You know, and the point is that they if the movie makes you feel good, then for you it was a good movie.
Of course.
You know, and it doesn't matter who's in it. It doesn't matter. If you like it, then it's an okay movie.
One of the things that we're talking about here is context and the fact that if when were you particularly well-established and happy and the fire was burning and the all of the cider was, you know, perfect, Those conditions are mythical in some cases, and in other cases, you got 90% of it.
Right, you know? And in some cases, it's all real.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
You know, exactly. look at you know, how do you think some homeless 11-year-old kid can watch a Christmas movie and be sitting there and everybody's wassailing and having 500 presents around the tree and everybody's happy and.
Are complaining about not having 500 presents around the, you
right.
know, the, how happy are we?
You know, one of the best cartoons ever on that, David, was a Doonesbury years ago from in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Mike Doonesbury, he's got all the money in the world. And his
sure.
parents have all the money. And it shows him sitting in the chair on Christmas morning, and he's saying, I got this, I got this, I got this, I got this. And the kid he's talking to on the phone that he befriended, the young kid,
mm-hmm.
and he goes, I got a number two pencil.
Oh, that's what I got.
And the kid was happy to get a number two pencil for Christmas. Yeah. And Michael Doonesbury is sitting there like, oh, brother, give me a break.
Not only that, but now, we have to be introspective to a certain degree. I mean, in 2003, we all watched something called Bad Santa. Okay, now there's another genre.
Yeah,
where you know
Billy Bob Thornton,
it's not really that happy, or we're dealing with the fact that it's not happy, or what was happening in 03, the noughties.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, and you know the one of the best. I just lost his name, David. You remember the guy who was on the Honeymooners with Jackie Gleason?
Yeah.
I just lost his name, but he did a.
Well, get your phone out.
Yeah, he did a episode
of the
Twilight Zone, and he it was a dark episode, and I'll tell you what.
Out of character.
Art Carney.
Art
Carney. I just got his name,
yeah.
But if you folks go in and do the. Check out a Twilight episode with Art Carney at Christmas, and I mean, it is dark.
Mm-hmm.
It is very dark, but it has redeeming qualities in it, too. So,
well, that's some of that is the whole point, but they each of these is reflecting the period in which it was made.
Right.
And one of the interesting parts of how to enjoy a movie is sort of knowing its backstory.
Sure.
And here we are with, you know, 2022, which is like last year, right?
Yeah, yeah.
A Christmas Story Christmas is the name of the movie.
Yeah, and it's the follow-up to A Christmas Story.
Of course it is.
The original.
And so, you know, rather than going back and watching the original, we can try to do it better.
Yeah. Well, David, we're at the point where... Folks, we hope you like it okay, but we're at the point where we like to take a mid-show break, and we're going to take a quick break. Let me and David stretch our legs, and in the meantime, I got a song for you, and I think you'll recognize it, and I hope you like it, and we'll be back in a couple minutes.
It's from White Christmas.
Snow, it won't be long before we'll all be there with snow.
Snow, I want to wash my hands, my face and hair with snow.
Snow, I long to clear a path and lift a spade of snow.
Snow, to see a great big man entirely made of snow.
Snow, where is it's snowing all winter through, that's where I want to be.
Snowball throwing, that's what I'll do. How I'm longing to ski through the snow.
Those glistening houses that seem to be built of snow.
Snow, oh, to see a mountain covered with a quilt of snow. What is Christmas with no snow?
No white Christmas with no,
no
snow.
Snow,
snow, snow. I'll soon be there with snow. I'll wash my hair with snow.
And with a spade of snow, I'll build a man that's made of snow. I'd love to stay up with you, but I recommend a little shut-eye, go to sleep and dream of snow.
Snow,
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 snow.
Well, folks, that was the incomparable Snow, and David and I decided to play that one because if you look out your window,
you'll see some.
You'll see some. That's right. And more is supposedly on the way. You know, but that was Bing Crosby, Danny Kaye, Rosemary Clooney, and I believe her name's Vera Ellen. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of why we played that, is because we've got it out there.
We got
more on the way. And
a very romantic attitude towards snow that we may or may not have here. But that was the setting of that song from White Christmas was in a train, in a dining car. Well, that's a wonderful image to have as well.
Yeah. And David, I want to bring up a movie that you and I both like. It's been remade in recent years. And that is the 1940, The Shop Around the Corner.
Oh, I love that movie.
Yeah, that's a great movie.
Jimmy Stewart
and Margaret Sullivan.
Yeah.
And it's it was remade into You've Got Mail, mm-hmm. but it's the same. It's basically the premise is these two people work in a shop, a gift shop. Is it in like
Budapest?
Yeah, it's in Budapest, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they're pen pals, and they love each other as a pen pal. But they despise each other at work.
Yes,
you know
they'll never get together at work because they're opponents. Yeah,
but it was the inspiration for the You've Got Mail. You know, with,
another good movie.
Yeah, another good movie with Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Greg Kinnear. You know, but the Shop Around the Corner is, you know, and you know what's crazy, David, is that movie was made in 1940.
Yeah.
1940.
Pre-war, so the pre-Pearl Harbor.
Pre-Pearl Harbor, yeah. 84 years ago. 84 mm-hmm. years. And it's amazing. It's amazing, folks. And some of you folks, when you're watching stuff, not so much some of the kids. Hopefully there's some youngsters out there that appreciate some of the older movies that are in black and white. And they have a story. They don't have, like you said, Dave, they don't have AK-47s. Mm-hmm. They don't have bombs blowing up. Mm-hmm. It's the dialogue. It's the story that's really...
The human interest.
Right.
The tension in that movie, it's not like it didn't have any drama. I mean, it had plenty. It was the way it was produced, expressed in the movie.
Right. And I mean, we've talked about if Die Hard, people say it's not a Christmas movie, it's a Christmas movie. Well, I enjoyed Die Hard.
Of course.
Got a banging and blowing
of
up.
Of course.
It's got comedy, but it's not
set
a shop around the corner.
It happens during Christmas.
Right. It just happens during Christmas.
Yeah. I think if anybody wanted to seriously get together around the roaring fire with your family and watch The Shop Around the Corner, I think the motive of it, the theme, would all be appreciated. You would get it. Even the 8-year-old would get it, I think. That would be a test, wouldn't it? How mature are your 8-year-olds in your family?
To watch The Shop Around the Corner?
Can you watch it and get it? Yeah.
Yeah. See, now, when I was an 8-year-old, I'd have watched it.
You would have.
Yeah, I'd have watched it. You may have too.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Well, again, different context. Didn't have any other... I didn't have a romantic partner at the time at 8. Might have fantasized, but no, I didn't.
Yeah.
In the meantime, it's gotten more meaning involved.
Yeah. But when I was 10, would I have watched it? I would have, but as a 10-year-old, I might have been more inclined to watch Santa Claus Conquers the Martians.
Yes, of course.
As a 10-year-old.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
So you got to look at it relative to your age.
We have clickbait today.
Yeah.
Well, we had clickbait back then too. You know, it was like if it has a Martian in it, it might be interesting.
And you know, one of the other movies that's has been remade, but was a success in 1948, and that was The Bishop's Wife.
Oh yeah, very cool.
Yeah. I think you folks probably remember that. That was remade with Denzel Washington. And if you remember, that was Cary Grant was the
Originally
angel.
Was
the angel.
Dudley.
Yeah, the angel that came in to help the pastor. His marriage was failing. His church was failing.
All because of a materialistic, you know, presentation of the church,
right,
the religion.
And it was a remake, but the 1948 Bishop's Wife is once again a wonderful...
It speaks to our day, certainly, in big time.
It does.
Everybody should be watching that, actually.
Yeah. And you know, folks, I was talking to David here, you know, we were met for a cup of coffee and talk about the show a little bit, and last night my wife and I watched a movie called Christmas Holiday, and we thought it was going to be really a Christmas movie. Well, it was a film noir that just happened to take place. Happened to take place at Christmas, and I'm not going to tell you about it. It would be too long to tell you. But watch Christmas Holiday with Gene Kelly and Deanna Durbin, free on YouTube. And I thought it was a wonderful film noir movie, but we were surprised, my wife and I.
Particularly when you expect Gene Kelly to be dancing somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, this was made in 1944, and he's just getting into his career or becoming more successful in his career, but he plays a scoundrel. And it's worth it. Christmas Holiday, Gene Kelly, Deanna Durbin, and it's worth a look, folks. It's definitely worth a look. So give that a shot. And
there are a lot of screwball comedies, which you could say was a standard art form out of the industry at the time. And Christmas in Connecticut is, in my mind, one of those where we could identify with the lead, who is somebody who is basically scamming the world with their career. They're doing a good job of it, but they're not what they say they were.
And which one was that?
A Christmas in Connecticut.
Oh, yeah, Christmas in Connecticut.
A domestic goddess, you know, who ends up having an image in the public of this person who has a wonderful Connecticut home with roaring fire and a great kitchen and all the stuff that she actually has been inventing out of her apartment in Manhattan. Ends up being her editor, her boss, invites himself to a wonderful Christmas in Connecticut, which she then has to figure out how to pull off.
And you know, another movie, David, that's been remade before, but the 1958 Bell Book and Candle.
Oh, yes, I don't
Kim
know
Novak.
How, I love that
Jimmy
movie,
Stewart.
But how do you call that a Christmas movie?
I don't know, but it comes up on lists
so
as a
weird
Christmas movie.
Well, I suppose if you think witches have something to do with Christian.
Yeah, and there again, like I said, how can Christmas Holiday come up on list of Christmas movies?
Well, there we are back to computers.
Yeah.
And the discussion about
no
lists.
Kidding.
I wrote down 40 of the top Christmas movies from IMDb, the Internet Movie Database.
Yep.
And you wouldn't, again, A Wonderful Life shows up at number one, Die Hard number two, A Christmas Carol number three, but as you go through the list, you end up realizing this list was composed, how did you describe it? It was composed by the computer based on current, the current, not readership, viewership, right? I mean, this is based on people who are actually watching these things and the computer noticing the fact that they watched them and then putting them in this list.
And a lot of the folks, what they do is the lists are developed on IMDb too. And that's a wonderful resource, folks, for movies. IMDb.com. And people vote on them. You set up a free account.
It's a very current sort of poll taking.
Right, because right now the number one movie on IMDb and has been for a while is The Shawshank Redemption.
Not with Christmas theme, but
no,
just
not with
generally.
Christmas theme, but who, just
yeah,
a general.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
So you know, Godfather's next, mm-hmm. and but Citizen Kane's on. So, but you know, another one, and I'll tell you what, I saw this one, but it's been a long time. The Lion in Winter, yeah. 1968, Peter O'Toole, Katharine Hepburn, and I'll go ahead and tell you it's set at Christmas time in the year 1183, and what it is, it's the Queen, Katharine Hepburn. She plots with her sons to force her husband to choose an heir. Hmm. So which son will become the heir? And this was actually Anthony Hopkins' screen debut also.
Remarkable.
The Lion in Winter.
Yeah.
Which is another amazing thing in that it is 56, going on 56 years old. You know, it's just amazing.
We're
that,
going to stop talking about the fact that this is a really, really old. I mean,
well, we're getting really old, dude.
No, not around Christmas time. The Polar Express, CGI, early. CGI,
yeah, Tom
right?
Hanks. And,
yeah, but early CGI, early technology.
Yeah, and it's a good one. My wife and I like Polar Express.
2004.
Yeah.
How many years ago was that?
20.
Okay, so
19.
Everything has its relative. You know, Love Actually, a really hard movie to watch if you cry a lot during movies.
Well, and that's what we talk about. You know, when you and I kind of grew up, and we look at a classic movie as being maybe, you know, A Christmas Carol, the old A Christmas Carol.
Yeah. It was classic when we first saw it.
Yeah, you know, or To Kill a Mockingbird, or a lot of these great shows. Well, now, you know, there's movies now, you know, you got to look at Christmas Vacation. It's 40 years old.
Yeah, it was bad back then. It's bad now.
Oh, it is not. It's a hilarious movie. Oh, we forgot the leg wrestle. God darn it.
Yeah. Well.
But it's a hilarious movie, you know, especially with Cousin Eddie. I mean, you got to love Cousin Eddie.
Love Actually has all these remarkable stars in it, you know, who... It's hard to put together a group like that until you go back to 1948 again. But then I look at 2021. I'm just looking at this IMDb list of the top 40. And 8-Bit Christmas is all about game consoles and your favorite and what are you wishing for Christmas? You know, it's not a flyer sled. You know, it's not Rosebud. Okay, do you have that reference? Rosebud, okay.
Any movie aficionado ought to know who Rosebud is, Rosebud is.
But it's like, this is a kid who's dreaming of getting a game console for Christmas. That's interesting that it's set in the 80s, but made in 2021.
Yeah.
Talk about old.
But a lot of it is relative. You know, it's like Polar Express.
Yep.
You know, when you look at it, Polar Express kind of takes place more like in the 50s.
Yeah.
You know,
when there were trains, first of all.
When there were trains. but is the concept any different for a kid in 1950 as it is for a kid in 2023?
No. Can you watch one of these movies and actually get the point of it? You know, what was the theme? Not just the theme, but the idea that the writer was trying to get across. Was it well enough written so that you can appreciate it today?
Yes, very much so. And it's just one, you know, and there again, like I said, the whole idea of the movies is to, a person needs to go and watch what they like. You know, if it's
an art form.
Yeah,
and if you like a particular type of art, don't struggle through things you don't like. You
right.
Know, that's fine.
Right.
You may be told that you should, you know, you'll like it if you try it type of thing. But yes, that's why there's more than one, you know, a guy out there directing movies.
And you know, my we went, when you look at, relatively speaking, it's not a Christmas movie, but my wife and I went to see Godzilla Minus One yesterday.
Yeah, well, you have a lot to explain.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Actually could go look at it was something in itself.
If you like it, yeah. And I thought it was worth going to. Was it the best? No, but it was a decent movie. It was okay to go see it.
It didn't insult you, perhaps, but also it was a contextual, it was an artifact from the period it was made in, right? Post-war Japan.
Yeah.
Where you can get all sorts of cultural references and
yeah.
see it as a, you know, again, as a piece of art, rather, even if it does have
yeah.
Godzilla.
And one of the things I wanted to let folks know, I just looked it up real quick. Mm-hmm. If you did want to watch that... that Twilight Zone with Art Carney, the title of it is The Night of the Meek. And, you know, one of the things they have in here is his name is Henry Corn. He goes, "What's your name, little boy?" And the little boy says, "Percival Smithers." And he says, "What do you want for Christmas, Percival?" And he goes, "A new first name." A new first name, yeah. You know.
What we saddle our kids with. That's a theme in itself.
Oh yeah, no kidding. Mm-hmm. But you know, Christmas movies, the movies in general, you know, and I got it, like I said, it's not a Christmas movie, but many, many years ago, I went to the drive-in, my wife and I went to the drive-in with some friends, and you know, back in the 70s, we sat and we watched this movie, and it was like, the title of the movie was Pom Pom Cheerleaders, and it was absolutely a terrible movie. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, "Oh brother, I can't believe we're sitting here watching this." And my friend at the time, he goes, "Well, that was pretty good."
He thought it was fine.
He thought it was wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and I'm like, "You got to be kidding me," but I never said anything cuz I didn't want to hurt his feelings.
Because you're a polite person.
I didn't want to hurt his feelings.
Right.
You know, so it's all relative. To what a person likes.
Your own what you've been introduced to. If he had just come from a big time wrestling match, then that movie fit right in.
Yeah, you know, and it's like, do you by any chance remember in the very first Superman, where Gene Hackman is Lex Luthor, he's talking about, you know, some people can read War and Peace and think it's just another adventure story.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else can read a bubblegum wrapper and unlock the secrets of the universe.
Yeah, well.
So it's all relative.
If you're looking for the secrets of the universe, you'll find them.
In a bubblegum wrapper.
Yes,
that's yeah, right. That's yeah. right. You know. So, but yeah, folks, Christmas movies, there are, you
can
know.
Can you find another one? Oh, I just came up with Elf. There's a popular character.
There is, yeah.
2003. I think that's one of my daughter's favorite movies.
Yeah, and you know, I'm torn on that. I'm not sure about Elf. I've watched it, but it's just mediocre for me.
Yeah, before you. But again, this is a girl who was brought up when it was first put out in 2003. It fit
right.
perfectly, right?
Yeah.
I'm with you. It again, we're back to, was that funny because he pratfalled? Because it was a ridiculous,
yeah.
Was it a ridiculous situation he found himself in?
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not going to say it didn't have funny parts, but it wasn't. If there was a choice between Elf and Christmas Vacation, I'm picking Christmas Vacation every time.
There you go.
But there you again, like you said, your daughter, there's some people out there think Elf is the best Christmas movie ever, and that's fine. You know, but it's got some pretty big stars in it. Bob Newhart, James Caan.
Sure.
You know?
James Caan actually is the redemptive character.
Yeah.
Who would have thought? But I think if you enjoy film as an art form, then a number of these classics need to be in your
that's true.
Lexicon, you know?
That's true.
So that you, and again, if you don't know what Rosebud is, then you need to look at more movies.
That's right. You need to find out who Rosebud is. Most people know.
Now that you have a phone in your pocket, you can find
that's
out.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, one movie, folks, and David and I, one of the ways we kind of come up with these lists is you do a little internet search. And like I said, nobody has to have an Encyclopedia Britannica in their home anymore.
No.
That
no.
gets replaced every couple of years because the information is out of date. But now you've got everything in your pocket.
Yep.
Or at your desktop. Well, one of the movies that, so we did a list, and one of the movies that comes up that it's always on a higher list for a funny movie, and that's called The Great Rupert.
Yeah.
And it's
that's hard for me to watch.
It's it's amazing. It's
formulaic might be the word. But also that whenever somebody describes a movie as heartwarming comedy, you know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
In this case, the one of the characters is super famous, though.
Yeah. Jimmy,
doing what?
Now, this is more probably some of our age group folks, boomers, know who Jimmy Durante is. You know, the guy that was caricatured with the big nose and going, ah-cha-cha-cha, you know. Good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever you are. That was a lot of his sign-offs.
We know who he was because our parents knew who he
right.
was. And this is a character that came simply because we were sitting on our parents' lap at the time. Right.
Right. Okay. But The Great Rupert, it's about a fading song and dance performer, and he finds himself, he's forced to part ways with his extraordinary, indispensable kilt-wearing companion, Rupert the Squirrel. Rupert is a squirrel. And
if they did that in CGI today, they might be able to pull it off again with another set of characters.
And it was stop-action clay work and
exactly.
model work back then.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Hard to watch.
Yeah,
1950 play, 1950.
Yeah, that's in 1950. That always amazes me that that movie popped up. And what's really weird about this, when you look at 1950 for that, the innocence of a lot of people in movies.
Sure.
It
the
was
ability
stop,
to believe what you're
right,
seeing.
Right. It was stop motion animation that created the illusion of Rupert the Dancing Squirrel. It was so real, and George Pal did the movie, and he also did, if I remember, Forbidden Planet.
Mm-hmm.
He did some sci-fi.
It was good enough.
Right. And he actually received inquiries as to where he got a squirrel that was trained to dance like that.
Of course they did. Of course they did. I can't make my squirrel do that.
Oh, yeah.
How did you do that?
Yeah. And, another big actress in that movie was Terry Moore. And Terry Moore, she was the gal who was the ingenue in the original Mighty Joe Young.
Mm-hmm.
And she was also the last known claim to his money wife of Howard Hughes.
Oh, gosh, really?
Yeah, she got a ton of money.
Yeah.
Because she was the last known and official still wife of
legal,
Howard Hughes.
Legal.
Right.
Wife.
And, Terry Moore, and I really like Terry Moore too.
Because you know her in other forms, not
right.
just because she was in The Great Rupert.
Right,
for sure.
Right, knew her in other forms, and she was wonderful. She was in Peyton Place, and she was actually in the 1998 version of Mighty Joe Young.
Mm.
But that's not a Christmas movie. But yeah, she's. She was a wonderful actress, I thought.
We can follow the career of some of these people. It made me think of the movie that I have mentioned now that probably isn't even a Christmas movie, but Pocket Full of Miracles. You had Bette Davis as the lead,
yep.
Glenn Ford, but introducing Anne Margaret.
Yeah.
Yeah, who knew? I mean, that's just interesting to see these guys who are showing up for the first time in some of their early movies.
Yeah.
And playing well enough to get another job, you know? She didn't screw up, and she got a career.
No kidding. No kidding. And as we were talking before, some of these actors in whatever movie they're in, sometimes it's just being at the right place at the right time, yep. and the right person sees you.
In the right year,
mm-hmm. and you're in. You are in. But I want to give you one more little trivia thing about Terry Moore. She was married to Howard Hughes from 49 to 76.
Sheesh.
Yeah.
She got to know him pretty good.
Yeah. His estate paid her a lot of money in 1984.
It's interesting that they actually had a lot of money left over from that guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's.
Yeah, but yeah, yeah. There's so many wonderful actresses and actors out there, and you know, and we talk about too, like some of the like let's talk about Elf. You know, was Elf really a thinker's movie? But why would James Caan and Bob Newhart do that? Did they do it because they wanted to keep working? They do it just for the check? Or?
No, one thing that it was, remember, he was a foundling that left on the doorstep of...
Right,
okay?
Right.
And another foundling left on the doorstep is from a Christmas movie called Bachelor Mother, 1939. And we're dealing with a drama all about foundlings. Well, we got, you know, the idea that we could have somebody do a Christmas movie about being put on a doorstep wasn't strange for the Elf.
Well, David, you know what that little bit of music means?
I do. It means it's time to go watch a movie.
Yeah, we're...
It is Saturday.
We're that's down to the last minute and a half of the show, folks. We're glad you listened in. And for you folks that like it, this is the soundtrack song for National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. And David and I, in an hour, for you folks, you know I do a gardening show. David and I will be at Kenai Peninsula College at 1 o'clock. We got a garden show this afternoon.
We got a garden presentation. Indoor plants.
That's right.
Which is a really a good idea this time of year.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, come and learn about, talk about your Christmas plants, your poinsettias and stuff.
There may be some snow involved.
There could be. Well, folks, thanks a lot for listening to Movie Classics with myself, Larry, and my friend David. We have a lot of fun doing this, and I hope you have a lot of fun listening. And I hope you learn a little something, too, and that you take our advice and watch some of these older movies and see what you think about them. And we'll.
You can always email KDLL and tell us what you think.
Give us an email at movieclassics@kdll.org, and we'll be more than happy to talk about a movie, a genre, or anything.
So learn what you found out.
That's right. Like, you know, let us know what you like in movies, what you don't like in movies, and David and I'll be back a month from today, and third Saturday of January. So, well, folks, thanks again. This is listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula, KDLL, 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna. Everyone have a Merry Christmas. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it. It is straight up 12 noon.